was wonder, there was joy. There was something in the air about that tiny baby boy. Stars were shining over straw and hay. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and in a manger lay. Come join us as we lift our hands and pray.
With the gifts.
That's a tough one, Star. What do you give someone who has made it all?
Jesus is grateful for any gifts we give him. Even the smallest gifts make him happy.
He's so wonderful. I just want his birthday present to be perfect.
Jesus will love whatever you give him, Twinkle. What are some of your ideas?
Global Evangelist.
Yes, boss.
We thought of a crown. But any crown we came up with looked pale to the ones he already has. We thought of a sweater, but in heaven, it's never cold.
What about a golden watch?
The wise men already gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so that's out. Oh, Glow, the wise men didn't give Jesus just gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
What are you talking about, Star? It clearly says in Matthew 2 that the wise men gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Well, yes, Twinkle, they did give him all those wonderful gifts. But the wise men gave so much more.
Ah, the wise men were, how do you say, superb. The story of the wise men is wonderful.
You're certainly right, Sparklet. You know what? This story might just be the thing to get us thinking in the right direction for the perfect gift for our Lord. Come, Stars, gather around. I will tell you the story.
We would appreciate your help, Star.
And would love to hear the story.
Okay. Well, as many as you know, I was the star on duty that night 2,000 years ago. Little did I know that I would be the star that would lead people to Jesus. I would be ordered to shine on Bethlehem the moment he was born.
How wonderful!
Yes, it is wonderful. And I remember gathering every bit of starshine from the Lord as I could hold. That is the brightest I have ever shined. Jesus Christ, our Savior, he was born! Jesus was born that wonderful night. Shepherds came to worship him.
Len, of course, my star.
But the star does not end at the manger, though, does it, Star?
You're right again, Sparklet. I can remember it as if it were yesterday. In the days after Jesus was born, Joseph moved his family to a little house at the edge of town. Now they had a home in Bethlehem. But Joseph feared that his family was not safe. The news of Jesus' birth had spread throughout the land. Mary and Joseph both knew that after the shepherds had come, there would be more visitors. Some visitors would just be curious. Others would come to worship the new king. And they also knew that some would come to harm him.
But not the wise men. They wanted to worship him, right, Star?
You are certainly right, Twinkle. They were three wise men, kings, if you will. It is thought that they lived in a far-off place in the Orient, and because they were astronomers, they had noticed me shining in the heavens.
Oh, I would have just loved to see you shine like that, star.
Now the wise men traveled, and they met each other along the way. And they also found out that the star had appeared when a new king had been born.
Knock it off, fellow wise dudes.
Howdy!
Hello, wise brothers.
Thank you very much. I'm the Estonian. Philosophy is the thing I do. I've been following that there bright star. I'm from the land of the angels, also called Aren't you two from the Orient like me?
Sure thing, partner. We too are travelers. We met a few miles back. We both follow that there star. I'm from the Southern Orient. My name is Garthodia. My homeland is Bux, North Persia.
Hey, fellow wise brothers. I'm James Stonia. I'm a healer of body and soul. I come from the land of Motown, Chaldea. I heard it through the grapevine that the one who will be king of the Jews has been born. I believe that star will lead us to the Christ child. I want to find him and worship him.
Come on, then. Let's hit the road together and find this new king. And Estonia's left the earth. Seeking my king. Philosophy is what I know. I'm called the king of rock and roll. From the east, I walk these roads, I'm seeking my king. All this traveling makes me hungry, that's why I'm called the king of country. You know, that's why I'm called the King of Soul.
Woo!
There it is, we travel so far.
Healing fountain, more mountain, following yonder star.
Jesus.
Yes, it was so amazing.
Simply amazing.
But God was really leading the wise men. He just used me as a tool to help them along. But the wise men have real courage. Just imagine, leaving your homeland to follow a star. They traveled over hills and valleys. They traveled through sandstorms and cold, cool nights. But they didn't give up because they knew that finding Jesus and having him in their lives would be the most important thing that would ever happen to them.
The wise men were so very wise.
Very wise.
Very, very wise.
The wise men followed me, the star, to Jerusalem. And when they got to the city, they began to ask people about Jesus.
Jerusalem, what a rockin' city.
I'm so tired. I'm sure I got a saddle sore. I'm so glad I'm finally in the city that I can use some grub.
Salty, Rabbi, salty. Focus on, wise ones. We're seeking the newborn king. Do you think we should ask for directions?
Who ever heard of a wise man asking for directions?
People have some information about the new king. They'll help us find a way.
Mercy me, it wouldn't hurt to try. Hey, excuse me, brother.
Yes?
Hey, scribe dude. Have you heard of a new king being born? We've been following that star, and it has led us here to Jerusalem.
The only king around here is King Herod, and he is definitely not a newborn. I'm sorry, I must not tarry. I have important business to attend to.
Come on, folks. Somebody must have heard the new king. They say he'll be the king of the Jews.
He saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Are you sure you haven't seen him?
No, I haven't seen the new king.
I haven't either.
Can't anyone help us? We're looking for a king.
when King Herod heard about this new king, he was troubled.
That King Herod is not very nice. There's no twinkle in his eye.
No sparkle in his crown.
No glow in his eyes.
Now King Herod sent for these wise men to appear before him because he wanted to learn more about this new king.
Excuse me, wise travelers from the east. I want to invite you to King Herod's palace. I have spoken to him, and he is anxious to hear more about this new king. Come with me.
Well, I guess we could take a few minutes out of our journey to meet the King Herod, dude.
Shucks, yeah.
Maybe he can let us have some soul food. Hey, King Herod, main dude. What a rockin' pad you have here.
Nice to meet you, partner.
I like the threads, bro.
Welcome. What brings you wise men to my city?
We have traveled from the east to follow that bright star. We're searching for the king of the Jews.
We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.
This is the first I've heard of this new king. I too would like to worship him. Once you find him, you must return to Jerusalem and tell me about him. Then I too can meet him.
No problem, King Herod. We could swing back by, but I'm afraid we must be on our way.
Catch you later, King Brother.
Yep, it's time to hit the trail. Let's hit them up and move them out.
Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, till
Who would have thought the star would lead us here?
I'm so tired. I know we stopped to catch a few weeks on the trail, but I didn't sleep very well. I kept having to see a strange dream. There was a voice. Tell not to go back to that King Herod.
Bless my soul, I had the same dream.
Me too. I guess that means we'll take the northern detour around Jerusalem and forget that return appearance in front of King Herod.
Martha, hurry. We must get the water from the well for Mother.
Okay, Lydia, we can get this done in no time.
Look, Martha, strangers.
They are royalty, kings.
Magi, wise men.
Hey, little ladies.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Thank you very much, little ladies. We have traveled from the east. We are wise men. We have traveled from the east to follow that bright star.
We're searching for the king of the Jews.
Yes, little sister. We saw his star in the east and have come to get down and worship him.
You must be Jesus. He was born some months ago in the innkeeper's stable.
Are you just sure it's the king of the Jews? Which king would be? What king would be born in a stable?
Oh, he doesn't live in a stable anymore. He lives with Mary and Joseph in a little house on the edge of town.
But you are right about Jesus. There's something very special about this baby. People are saying he'll be the new king of the Jews.
All I know is that he's an awesome little boy.
Sometimes when his mother Mary goes to the market, we get to sit with him. He's so cute.
I just love to rock him.
His eyes are full of love.
You will love him, and believe it or not, you will know
know he loves you too. He's amazing.
Is my crown straight? I want to look my best. Give me a minute to shine this gold.
Alright, slick down my hair and dust off this box of frankincense.
Rose, where's my merch? Ah, thank goodness. I thought I might have lost it in the last sandstorm.
When we meet him, what should we do?
I might just bow.
I might sing to him.
Just imagine, my friends. We're about to meet our king.
Child. We have come to bring him gifts and worship him.
You are welcome here. Mary and I have been entrusted with a blessed child. Thank you for traveling so far to visit us.
I bring the child gold.
I bring a frankincense.
And I bring myrrh.
But there's one more thing I want to give to the Christ child. I give you my heart, Jesus.
I give you my love.
And I give you my worship.
You see, stars, the wise men gave them their hearts and their love, and they also gave them their worship.
I see, star, the wise men gave Jesus their all. We stars will give every beam of light that comes from us to be a Jesus light. That will be our gift to Jesus this Christmas. Simply marvelous.
What a shining idea. Truly the best gift anyone can give Jesus is themselves.
Who would have ever thought that the best gift for Jesus would be me?
Will you give him your worship?
In Matthew 2:11,
The Bible says, on coming to the house, they saw a child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their gifts and presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The wise men worshipped Jesus and gave him gifts. We should also give our earthly treasures. But you have something that Jesus wants more than anything precious found on this earth. He wants your heart.
In Romans 10:9-10 it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Jesus wants you to love him.
In Mark 12:30, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
And he wants you to be a part of his family.
In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Bible says, therefore, my dear brethren, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Become a wise person. Worship Jesus this Christmas. Invite him into your heart and life. And make this Christmas the best Christmas ever. Merry Christmas.
It's Christmas. sit down. Standing ovation, look at that. Well, thanks for all coming to hear me speak tonight. I wasn't forewarned about the fur coat. That's all I'm going to say. I want to share a few thoughts with you before we hear a finale, I believe. And it's out of Matthew chapter 2. I want to read the passage that this musical is based on. It's just a few verses. It says in Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet,'" now quoting the Old Testament, "'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Now, these magi are very interesting, how they kind of appear out of nowhere and then disappear off the pages of Scripture. There's actually historical evidence that these magi were actually a religious priesthood similar to the Old Testament priesthood, the priesthood of Levi and Aaron, which was hereditary priesthood passed down from father to son for generations, which began about the 7th century B.C., and that these priests were both religious and political leaders in Babylonia, Chaldea, and Persia. And there's much historical evidence to support this. Well, also, as it turns out, these magi appear in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. If you recall, Daniel was in the court of a Babylonian king, and he was actually made in that king the chief magi. That is to say, Daniel, because of the wisdom that God had given him, became the kind of like the Secretary of State, if you will, to Nebuchadnezzar, and he was the one who oversaw all of the magi, or as you might say, the counselors to the king. The magi were scientists, philosophers, and learned men who were both religious leaders and political leaders. We actually get our word magic or magician from this term magi. But originally the term magi did not have to do with sorcery, but only later, with really a corruption of the use of this term, the term magi and magician came to be used in a vulgar way as an insult. But originally the magi were very learned and powerful men. So you can understand that when the Magi appeared in Jerusalem, Herod, and it says all Jerusalem, would be troubled. Because at the time, there was conflict between Rome and Babylonia. So when they appeared, and they undoubtedly appeared with a great retinue, in oriental pomp, if you will, they entered Jerusalem because all of Jerusalem knew that they were there. And they said, "Where is the King of the Jews?" Which implied that they came to worship this king. They were willing to acknowledge his sovereignty, which implied they were not willing to recognize the sovereignty of Herod. So Herod saw a threat to his political power, which is why he said to them, "Yes, go find this king for me, and I will come and worship him." And as we know, that was a lie. He wanted to know where the babe was so that he could then kill his political rival. The Magi depart from him. They worship the Christ child, and then they are divinely warned to leave and go back to their own country, which was probably Persia. Herod is angered because he's deceived or tricked by them, and so then he sends his soldiers to slaughter all the children in Jerusalem from 2 years old and under. Because if he figured if he killed all the male children in Jerusalem at that time, based upon the calculation of when they visited him and when they said they saw the star, that he would probably kill his political challenger. Why was the birth of this child so significant? Well, this passage says because this child was the king of the Jews. But Jesus was more than just a political ruler. We know from other texts that the king of the Jews was not just to be a political ruler, but that he was going to be the savior or the Messiah of mankind. The birth of Jesus was important because what was happening when Jesus was born was that God was becoming a man in Christ. That is to say, the Creator was becoming a human person in the person of Jesus, the Messiah. So we have not just a earthly king that is being born. What we have here in this text is we have a heavenly king who is being born. A person who was not just a human being, but while being human, he was also divine because he was the very Son of God. All throughout his ministry, Jesus' authority was challenged. And at the very end of his life, as he stood before Pilate and as he was questioned, he was asked, "Are you the one?" And Jesus said that all men would see him coming in the last days, that he would come again, reigning in power and glory. You see, the beauty of the birth of Jesus Christ was that when God visited this earth, he came with his power and glory and majesty veiled, hidden, if you will. I mean, think about how odd it is when you really contemplate how strange that God would come as a baby. That when they looked into the face of this child, they were looking into the face of God. And yet God came, veiling his glory, his power, and his majesty. And he came as a man for a very important purpose. And that purpose was that someday, 33 years later after his birth, he would die on a cross for the sins of humanity. You know, I could speak for hours, but I won't, on the many, many lessons in this passage, but I want to mention a couple very quickly. And the first one is this: those who seek will find. The Magi, the philosophers, the astronomers, the scientists of the day, saw something that told them the king of the Jews was to be born. Now, some scholars speculate that because of the relationship between Israel and the surrounding countries, that these Magi very possibly knew the Old Testament scriptures, and that is very possible. It's been demonstrated that by Kepler that around this time there was an alignment of two planets which could have very well produced a phenomenon in the sky which would have resembled the star. There are very similar calculations by Chinese astronomers which show the same thing around this time in history. These Magi had perhaps some Old Testament scriptures, maybe. They had the star, whatever it was, some astronomical symbol. And as a result of that, they searched and they sought for who they believed to be the king. The uniform teaching of the Bible is this: God says that those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me will find me. You know, it is striking to me that here in this passage, we have men who traveled probably hundreds and hundreds of miles through all sorts of difficulty, barren terrain, in danger of thieves, in danger of wild animals, in danger of the elements. They went to all that trouble to try to find, as they were seeking out this king. And yet the people in Jerusalem, when they heard that perhaps the king of the Jews had been born, it says nothing about any of them going with them. None of them wanting to seek. It just says they were troubled. Those who seek will find. Yet God says in Proverbs, those who seek me diligently will find me. If I said to you, are you seeking God? If you're a Christian, you say, well, of course I'm seeking God. There may be some here that aren't Christians, but you may say, I believe in God, and I seek God, or I go to church, or I pray. The question is, are we seeking Him diligently? Because those who truly want to know Him, they will find Him, and that's a divine promise. The other thing that's significant to me, and it relates to that point, is that it is so important that we respond to the light that we have. The Magi had this star, whatever it was, probably some type of alignment of planets, perhaps. Yet the Jews of his day, they had the scripture. Yet the Magi, with much less information, much less light, were seeking harder than those who had more light of the scripture. You see, the important thing is not how much light do we have. The important thing is how do we respond to the light that has been given to us. Now, there's some of you who may be skeptical or sitting there thinking, well, you know, yeah, I'd believe in this Jesus stuff. I mean, if I had a special star that appeared for me, well, then it would be easy to believe in Jesus. But that's not true. That's an old, old, old argument. And even the scribes and Pharisees used it against Jesus, because they kept on saying, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And you know what Jesus said to them? He said, if you believed Moses, which they studied, and they knew the Bible, the Old Testament, if you believed Moses, you'd believe me. In other words, if you would respond to the light you already have, then you would be given more light. And that is always the case. So when God says, if you seek me, you will find me, he's saying, regardless of how much light I've given you, if you will respond to the light that I've given you, then I will give you more light. Ultimately, no one will have an excuse, because everybody has been given light, and yet, unfortunately, everybody has rejected to a degree the light that God has given them. Especially here in America, where we have Christmas musicals done in churches on street corners around our nation. We have Christmas hymns on the radio. We have the gospel preached on the air. We have the gospel preached on television. We have so much light given to us. The question is, how are we responding to that light? Are we responding to that light and then eagerly seeking? That's the question. And finally, let me say one more thing, and I'll close, and that's this. That in order to respond to the light that God gives us, we must be willing to be humble. We must be willing to be humble. One of the striking things to me about this passage in the Gospel of Matthew about the Magi, when you recall who they really were, very learned and very powerful men, that they were willing to come and to bow down and worship a child. It showed a great deal of faith, and it showed a great deal of humility. Philosophers bowing before a child, and that is reminds me of where Jesus said that we must become like little children if we would enter the kingdom of God. We, you and I, must become like children. What does that mean? That means we must put aside all of our self-dependence, all of our pretensions, all of our accomplishments, and come to Christ with nothing but simple faith. The thing I love about the Bible message is simply this, that you and I can have a right relationship with God. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can go to heaven, not because of anything we do, but because of everything that Christ does. You see, the gospel, that word means good news. It means glad tidings. Why are we rejoicing at Christmas? Why are so many Christmas hymns of joy? Because the one born was the one that would bear our sins, so that we would not have to bear our sins. He bore the punishment for our sins when he was on that cross, so we need not bear that punishment. He fulfilled the law of God perfectly, so we need not fulfill the law of God. Indeed, we cannot. The good news is that God saves us, and we don't save ourselves. And you know, there are so many people today that are rejecting Christianity, or religion as they call it, because they think if they open the Bible, what the Bible is going to say to them is be good and then God will love you. Turn over a new leaf and then God might accept you. They believe that's the message of the Bible. That is not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that God so loved you. He loves you, and he so loved you that he gave his only son to die on a cross for your sins. That Jesus took your sins upon him. God punished Jesus Christ in your place so you would not have to be punished. Jesus bore the sin, the penalty, the wrath of God on himself for your sins so that God's love could freely flow to you. Now that's glad tidings. Now you're thinking, well, surely, preacher, I got to do something. The only thing you can do is the same thing that I did 30 years ago when I first heard this message, and that is you can extend to God the empty hand of faith, and you can say, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I receive Jesus as my Savior. The Bible says, by grace you are saved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. We could never earn it. It is completely a free gift that he gives when he gives us his Son, forgiveness, when he gives us eternal life. It's a free gift. And this Christmas, when you receive gifts from family and friends, you don't pay them for the gift. That would be an insult. You take the gift and you say thank you. It's the same way with the gift of God's Son. You extend the empty hand of faith, and you take the gift, and you say to God, "Thank you, God, for giving your Son as my Savior. I receive him." Could it really be that simple? Is it that simple? This is why Jesus said we must become as little children, because even they can understand it. So the invitation for you this Christmas is to receive the gift of eternal life that's in Jesus Christ. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You simply receive it with the empty hand of faith. Let's bow our heads and pray before the finale. As we conclude, just take a moment. God knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. You may have come here tonight with no intention of having an encounter with God, and yet he's here talking to you because he loves you. He's asking you not to do something for him. He's asking you to receive something from him. He's not asking you to change your life. He's asking you to receive the life of his Son. And there's no magical prayer that makes you a Christian. But if you understand what I'm saying to you, perhaps understood clearly for the first time tonight, then you just tell God in your own words that, "Yes, God, I thank you for what Jesus did on the cross, dying for my sins. And yes, God, I'll receive the gift of your Son tonight. I accept Jesus tonight as my Savior." There's no greater gift than the gift that God gave us on Calvary. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. He is the reason for this season. He is why we are here. He is why we are singing and worshiping. He is the one that we worship and adore. We thank you, God, that because of your great love for us, you gave us the most precious gift you had, the life of your very dear Son. And I pray tonight, Lord, for anybody here that perhaps is understanding the good news for the first time. Oh, Lord, confirm this truth to their hearts, that if they truly accept your Son, Jesus, you will give them eternal life, forgiveness of all their sins. And Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's accepted your Son, I pray that they'd tell someone, maybe tell a friend who brought them. I pray that, Lord, they'd get a Bible and start reading it, come back to church and learn more about this new relationship they have with you and with your Son. We just thank you so much for the glad tidings of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Awesome job. Before we go, we want to acknowledge our director, Sandy Sanders, with a little gift. And let's give it up one more time for the, what do we call them? The choir. Good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for just the joy of this season, the joy that you sent your son Jesus to be our Savior. Just pray that everyone here, all of these children, would truly have Jesus living in their heart. Lord, we just pray that we would, throughout the season, when we're with family and friends, share the good news, the glad tidings, that the King has come to bear our sins, be the Savior of the world. And we pray in his name. Amen.